Hey girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast, it's all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. Hey girl, I am so excited that you're here for today's episode because we have on the show Ashley Stahl. And before I tell you who she is, I just want to say this episode is going to be your jam. If you're in a season where you're trying to figure out what your thing is or building a career that you're obsessed with or trying to navigate being an entrepreneur, because Ashley Stahl wrote a book called U-Turn. And it's all about helping you get unstuck, discover your direction, and design your dream career. And Ashley herself is a wealth of knowledge. She's got a really cool career path that I think you're going to vibe with because she's taken all sorts of pivots. So she actually used to work in DC in counterterrorism. And now she's a highly sought after career coach who's helped thousands of job seekers step into a career that actually lights them up. She's a Forbes blogger. She's also a podcaster with her podcast, U-Turn Podcast. And this book is just so tactical that we dive into some of the concepts that she talks about around gaining self-awareness and figuring out what your core skill sets are and how to actually align them to build a career you're obsessed with. So without further ado, let's dive into today's show. Ashley, I am so excited that you're here. Welcome to the show, girl.
Hello. I'm so excited to spend this time with you guys. Thank you for listening to our conversation. Thanks for having me here with you. It's such a gift.
Yes. Okay. So first where I want to start is there's a lot of women that listen to this podcast that have gone through lots of different seasons and they're kind of realizing now maybe they want to make a pivot and they're feeling all the feels trying to navigate change and the uncertainty. And I think it would be really cool if you could tell them your backstory is wild. Like you have done so many different things. So can you give us kind of like a high level overview for the woman that feels stuck and she needs to hear just all the turns that you've made?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like a lot of people, I went to college and didn't know what to major in. And yeah. I went to the career services office. And I remember the career services lady was like, follow your passion and do what you love and the money will fall. Like she said all of the things.
She was literally a Pinterest quote.
Yeah, it was. And I just felt so much more lost after that conversation. And so I ended up majoring in government history and French, not because I was an overachiever trying to have three majors, but because I was all over the place and just wanted options and didn't really know who I was. What I did know was that I grew up in a house where the news was always on. I had a real interest in politics because my dad had been talking about it all the time. He was on the opposing political aisle of my uncle's, so they would fight at the dinner table on Sundays. And I just, for better or worse, formed an opinion, whether it was informed or not. Yeah. And I remember, you know, I think every generation has high impact moments that generation is changed because of them. And certainly for the millennial generation, my generation, 9/11 was one of those.
Yeah.
You know, like the world changed. And, you know, I can't even imagine a world where there's not a bunch of drama to get to your airplane at an airport. Do you know what I mean? Like the amount of security, taking off your shoes, like that didn't exist. That blows my mind. And it's not just about the airport. It's just about the collective mindset that we were in. So I had family on the East Coast during 9/11. My mom was really spooked that day. And I think a lot of us remember where we were standing on 9/11. And so that just kind of led me to those majors of government history and French. And what I didn't realize at the time that I think a lot of people don't realize is that there's a huge difference between being a consumer of something and being a producer of something. Mm-hmm. So I love film. I love art. I love politics. All passions and interests that I have. Doesn't mean I'm meant to be a documentary filmmaker, doesn't mean I'm meant to be an artist, doesn't mean I'm meant to be a politician. And that's the biggest misunderstanding that I see with people in their career. And there's this really cool thing in Google called the N-gram. And it's this tool in Google that basically measures a phrase and how common it appears in Google.
Okay.
And I would say it's safe to say that Google's a reflection of our culture, like the conversations that are happening in our culture. Right. Yeah. So if you look from the 1980s to the, you know, mid 2000s, you see the concept of follow your passion just skyrocket. So it became the social norm and a part of the social dialogue for advice. I think it got a lot of people lost. And I certainly was one of those people. And so for me, studying government, committing to it was more of an identity and just giving me a sense of safety to feel like I was on a path and I had a plan. And when I graduated, it was the recession, couldn't get a job to save my life, slept on my parents' couch because my bedroom ended up becoming a fitness room. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I was gone for all years, did everything, learned the languages, got the degree, did the internships, came home, couldn't get a job. And I think I fell into those myths that a lot of people fall into and that probably people listening are falling into right now. The myth that you need to take what you can get, the myth that you should just pass your resume along to, and ask people to pass it around, the myth that you should network with family and friends. These are all actually myths. The myth that you should have a five-year plan. I ended up doing the one where you take a job to get your foot in the door, and that's an awful plan because when you take a job to get your foot in the door, you're just taking a job that is pigeonholing you. And by the time they're hiring for the job you want, why would they move you around? You're doing a great job where they want you. Where
so
you hire
true.
Where-
yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, I was an assistant making minimum wage in an ad agency because I eventually just thought something's better than nothing. Like I feel so purposeless. And there's this one day in my job where I was like, you know what? I really, even if there was some part of me that knew that government might not be it for me, but I was still pulled towards it. And I think this is really huge because your career is kind of a journey. And I think a lot of people think like, if this thing isn't my end all be all, there is no point of it. There was some part of me that was like, I don't know if this is where I belong forever, but I need to follow it now.
Yes.
And so I called my university and I said, do you have a list of alumni who moved to DC? Because the cool thing about networking for a job in DC is everybody's in the government. Like it's the one two-dimensional town that is a slam dunk for networking.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting a list of 2,000 names and I called and emailed every single one over 4 months.
What were you even saying when you're emailing them and stuff?
Yeah. So, I mean, I cringe at the thought of my first cold email to people, but here's what I learned is that cold networking is so much better than warm networking. And one of the biggest mistakes people make is they're like, let me just network with my friends and family friends. It's like, look, when's the last time that your dad's friend was hiring for your exact dream job? Never, you know? And so I ended up reaching out to all these people. I would say, hey, I'm an alumni of the same college as you. I got your name from the alumni list. I'm so inspired by what you're doing. I'm really trying to transition into a government career. I would love if you would give me 5 minutes over the phone at your convenience.
Yes. So gritty, Ashley. I love that.
And you know what? In most people, this is the human condition, right? Like there's fear of the unknown, and then there's misery in your current situation. Mm-hmm. Most people won't go into the fear of the unknown until they're so miserable that the fear of the unknown isn't that scary anymore. Their misery is more scary.
Yeah.
For me, my threshold's a little bit lower. I'm a little more scared at the lukewarm level where I'm like, I don't want to get miserable. I'm already scared that I'm on the path of misery. Yep. So my wish for anybody listening is like, start to notice that inner alarm clock of like, this isn't going to work for me. Like, don't let your life unravel when your gas tank is at zero. You know, like start to notice when you're at 50 or 40 or 70%. And so for me, I was like, I'm gonna die in this position. Like, I can't do this job. Mm-hmm. I can't live like this. And the life that I was living, I saw the default setting of being this like minimum wage assistant, which there's nothing wrong with either of those things, but I signed up for something else in my life, you know?
And that's the thing though, even in that of like listening to your own intuition and your gut that's telling you, wait a second, this feeling's popping up that I want more or I want something else, more as in more in alignment. And so often, because we're so scared of uncertainty, since we're not wired for that, we like smush that down and we make that, you know, believe that, okay, it's okay. I'm just going to be happy with where I'm at. But in reality, if you actually listen to that, like look at the pivots that it allows you to make, because you're just trusting that that's going to move you in the right direction too, which I love that. I love that. Sorry, keep going.
Please. And honestly, one of the biggest things I got out of the whole experience is, first of all, when you're networking, if you can find any common ground with somebody, you're always going to get a better response rate. So anybody who's networking right now, it's like, find people who went to your college or your high school or grew up in your town or like have some sort of affiliation with you. That always works better.
Yep.
But it's still cold networking. It's still about reaching out to who you really want to reach out to. I ended up getting about 100 people who supported me out of that list of 2,000 and got the confidence to move to DC. It's a good response rate, you know, but it's a numbers game. Like, what is that? What is that conversion rate? 100 divided by 2,000. That's like one out of 200 people that actually, no, one out of 20 people. I don't know.
Yeah.
Point being, you've got to hustle and life is a numbers game and you have to be willing to enter into that process. And my mantra during that time was high intention, like really be intentional and engaging, low attachment. Like I'm not going to attach. And anytime now as a career expert, 10 years later, anytime I see somebody talking about a job application or an opportunity, I'm like, oh, you're too attached. Like this is going to be hard for you to survive this job hunt. Because if you're thinking about that one email you sent, like this is going to be a brutal path for you.
Yeah.
Like I tell people, especially if I've privately coached them or they're on my podcast listening to me or course it, anything, my book I wrote, I'm like, as the moment you tell me you're attached, I just say, let the send button in your email be the forget button. Like forget because you hit the send button.
Nothing's permanent. Like that's so, it's so interesting how people attach to that where it's like, you know, they're so scared to even like to make a move, like even take it out of the career, like, you know, setting. They're afraid to make a move, but it's like you move somewhere, you don't like it, you just move somewhere else. Like it's nothing is permanent. And if you can attach that, like that willingness and eagerness to actually explore, I think life just gets so much better. But I love that. So how did you go from government to, I mean, you've taken so many pivots and now 10 years later, you're writing this amazing book about, I mean, just everything. How did you get there?
Yeah. So basically I ended up getting 3 job offers from all of those people that helped me. Yeah. I met a woman who was Hillary Clinton's counterterrorism advisor at the State Department when Clinton, she was in State Department.
Yeah.
And she was like, I was so excited. I got 3 job offers. She was like, no, you're going to leverage all of these and you're going to get a bigger salary. So I ended up getting about 6 figures and going from an admin assistant to an executive as a defense contractor for the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't believe how much my life changed in really 6 weeks. Like,
yeah.
Because when the ball started rolling with the networking, I moved to DC and started meeting with these people in person, coming to their office, buying them coffee. And then when I realized.
Ashley, on that, for anyone that's in this situation right now where they are transitioning like that to a job that you could have let yourself feel all the feels of like, am I qualified to be in this position? Can I handle this? Like, do I know what the hell I'm doing? What are the thoughts that are going through your head and how are you kind of managing them to like step up into this? Cause this is a big leap in your career after a lot of like cold networking, but you got yourself in the door. And now what are you thinking at that exact moment?
I mean, this is obviously a confidence thing, but there's this Picasso anecdote that I share in my book about, and I don't know if you've heard it before, where Picasso's in a restaurant, he's scribbling on a napkin and the guy walks up to him and says, can I buy that? And he goes, yeah, it'll be $100,000. And the guy says, what? That took you 5 minutes. And he says, no, that took me my whole life. Yeah. And so I think for everybody listening, it's like, you have to realize the workforce that we're in right now, there are some weeks that decades of progress happen. That's the time we're in right now. Sometimes it takes decades for a week to happen. And right now we're in a time where progress is happening. And the progress is that who you are, your soft skills are more valued in today's world than what you know, your tactical skills. And the fact that robots are replacing people with highly technical skills, there's talk about them replacing certain doctors in surgery. This is the future that we're coming into right now. And there's moments where I see the future leaking into the present. And if you read the best-selling book, Sapiens, what is his argument? His argument is that the number one skill you need in the future is reinvention. You know, that's what was taken away from an entire book about human evolution. So I think really knowing, are you good with people? Are you good with navigating conflict? Are you someone that can diffuse tense situations? Are you someone that can not make assumptions and do teamwork? I mean, these are the skills that employers need. And remember that a recruiter across the computer screen or across the table from you, they're not just, you got there because of your resume. If you got an interview, your resume got you there. But what's going to keep you there is they're a human being talking to another human being, asking themselves, is this a name that I want to see pop into my inbox on a day-to-day basis? Is this somebody that I want to navigate?
Yeah.
And so I would say, remember who you've been your whole life, who you've had to be to get here, and don't undervalue that.
So good. So good. Okay. I feel like people just need to like take that little nugget and just like simmer in it, because so often they're telling themselves these BS stories that aren't serving them, when it's like, hey, yeah, you're the one that did all the work to get you here. Lean on those soft skills, but also just know you're qualified to be in the room, and you're going to qualify yourself for the position that you're in as you keep moving forward in it. So love, love, love. Okay. Keep going. Totally. I'm buckled in for this ride of like your journey. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, people want to work with people they like, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's just how the world is.
Yep.
And so don't underestimate our humanity. And as for me, I got all these job offers, but what I got on the sidelines of it, which is really important, was as I was following what felt right, as I was following the feeling of, you know what, counterterrorism, national security might not be my forever, but it feels like right now, this is where I want to go. Mm-hmm. And on the periphery of that, I learned how to job hunt. I learned how to create opportunities for myself. I learned how to talk to people. Friends started asking me, I had a lot of friends in DC from grad school that couldn't get a job. And then they started saying, can you help me with my resume? Can you help me with my strategy? Ended up having them come to Starbucks, ended up overfilling the Starbucks, and ended up getting kicked out of Starbucks because nobody bought coffee. Too many people were showing up in DuPont Circle Starbucks.
They're like, Ashley, at least have them buy like an Americano while they're here and like a bagel. It's amazing.
Exactly. And I ended up hearing from so many people being like, I got a job offer. This is amazing, whatever. And they would say, you should be a career coach. And I was like, what even is that? Like a hockey coach, like on the sidelines of your career? Like, what does that even mean? And I Googled career coaching, and it was like terrifying what I saw. This was a time where coaching wasn't that big. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a bunch of women and men who had like purple websites and like waterfalls. And like, it just felt really old school. And I just remember being terrified. And even in LA, I saw one, which no judgment. It was like a stripper turned life coach. And I just remember seeing all this weird stuff that I was like, this isn't for me. I'm not this. And looking back, I'm like, damn, that's amazing. Like if like a stripper turned life coach is going to help so many strippers figure out who they want to become. Like it's so needed.
Yep.
And so there's a need for everything in this market. And I've really learned that over the years. But at the time I was scared. My ego was kind of running me. And then finally I listened to the call and I started my business. And now 10 years later, I've got my book out. I've got my podcast, my courses, all the things.
Yeah. Okay. So I love all of this because it's just like you've leaned into also what other people are telling you that you're good at, which so often we get caught in this like bubble, and it's like, pay attention to what actually lights you up, and also what other people are telling you that's going to give you that direction. So, okay, career coach now, author, podcaster, speaker, course creator, all these things that you're doing. Someone comes to you now, right now. So a woman listening to this podcast is like, Ashley, I have no idea what the hell I want to do, but I'm really unfulfilled. Where do we, like, what are some questions before we even dive into some of the content of the book? Like, what are some questions that you would first start with asking her to kind of like get her on the right path to start moving into like digging into some of this content that you like? She's in a really good situation right now because you literally wrote an entire book about everything she can do, but where do we start her?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, there's two dynamics in your career. And I actually find careers quite simple. And I guess that's why I'm a career expert, because for most people, it feels very complicated.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
the what of your career and the how of your career. So I'll unpack these two things for anybody listening. Yeah. The what of your career is your skill set. And in the same way I was saying, just because you're good at consuming something like food doesn't mean you're meant to be a baker or a chef.
You don't want me baking.
A producer. Yeah. So the what of your career is your skill set. And that's very different than an interest. You can be interested in something and not have skills with it or have an ability to create success with it. So I found in my book, and I write about 10 core skill sets I believe exist in the workforce. I can unpack them if you want, but it's really asking yourself, where am I gifted? And a lot of people don't know where they're gifted. And one of the biggest drains for someone in their career is overriding who they are, their natural skills, so that they can participate in a different set of skills that aren't the ones that they're great at. That's why most people are draining in their job, is they're in the wrong what. So maybe they love, they love fashion and they're meant to be a designer, but instead they're a, merchandiser and they're dealing with too much math with the buying side of it. Whatever it is, careers are like, pies. Industries are like pies, and there's many different slices, and often people will eat the wrong slice, and that's the wrong skill set they're participating in, and they want to throw away the whole pie. Like, oh, fashion must not be for me. But really it's like, no, you're just a couple millimeters off. That's often what I see. So yeah. There's the what.
Wait, on that real quick, actually. Yeah. So someone's in that right now. Maybe they feel like they're in the right industry, or they feel like they're in the wrong industry, but in their gut, they're like, this feels like this could be right. What's like the little click? What are the questions that they can ask themselves if they're like, should I throw out this entire career path and start something completely new? Because a lot of times we have the tendency to want to do that. But in reality, yeah, we're just a couple, like you said, we're just a little bit away from the right spot. How do we figure out that if we're in it right now?
Well, I can go through the 10 skill sets because I think that's super helpful for people to kind of say, which one am I? But a really good question to ask people in your life, I would say maybe like a good little simple random sample of like, six people, maybe two of them are your parents, your caretakers, people close to you in your life, maybe a couple close friends, and then a couple of colleagues. Those are a really good person to ask. And I would ask them, when have you seen me at my best? And that is a very telling question, because usually their answer will fall within these 10 core skill sets. So here's what they are.
Yeah.
The first one is innovation. So this is the creative problem solver, the visionary. This is the intrapreneur within a company if they don't want to own their own business, or the entrepreneur who created the vision and the company. The second core skill set is the builder. And you also want to think of these as an energy field. It's not just a tactical skill set. So it can be quite literal, like a construction worker building. It can be more of a figurative, like a web developer building a website. The third core skill set, which is mine and probably yours, is words. And the words core skill set also brings up a lot of questions for me throughout this entire list, which is, are you an introvert or are you an extrovert? Because the words core skill set for me works when I'm operating through an internal lens. There's 100 different ways to use words, a million different ways to use words in your career. I am a spokesperson and a speaker, but I don't lead with that. That's 10% of what I do, because I'm more of an introvert. And so it's super important, whether you're innovation or building or words or any of the other ones I list out, for you to know, are you introverted or extroverted? Because how you express your core skill set is a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, even when I think about words and I go in my head, I'm like, I'm such an extrovert, that when I think introvert, I'm thinking like, spending time alone, kind of working on solo project, that's like your spot where, you're giving yourself that internal energy versus extrovert. I'm like, put me on a stage, put me in front of people. I just want to I want to interact with people. Yeah. And that makes me so full. But if you don't know, so it would be important for them to know, are you an introvert or are you an extrovert for any of these skill sets as you're going through that? Because if you don't know that, it's going to be hard for you to identify which one feels most right to you, right?
Yes, 100%. And so I think that's kind of one of those examples with the pie where like, oop, you just kind of are a couple millimeters off. Like, oh, words is your core skill set and you're doing business development and sales. Oh, you're depleted because you're on the phone all the time. Oh, you're an introvert. Oh, you need to be writing reports, writing manuals. This is really important. So four is motion. This is a funny one because people don't realize like being on your feet all day or being a fitness trainer, being a tour guide, anything that requires you to be out and on your feet is a skill set. Number five is service. This is the helper, the humanitarian, the supporter. This one brings up another question for me throughout all of these, which is your skill set from a wound or from inspiration?
Ooh, yeah, and we got it. That's in your book. We got to dive into that. That's good.
Yeah. So really, and I have a little table in my book of what does it look like when you're wounded or inspired in a skill set? What are the things you're saying to yourself? So wounded really comes from trauma. So a people pleaser who learned how to be a people pleaser as at a young age, because that was a coping mechanism for them to survive in their family unit.
Yeah.
That person might say, oh, service is totally my core skill set. Well, maybe that's just how you learned how to be in the world. Maybe it is your core skill set too. Maybe it's both, but it's good to just reflect and ask yourself this question.
And on that, to the woman that is, you know, I think especially for moms that are in like caretaker type roles right now, and they maybe they also have these perfectionist tendencies from growing up, their upbringing, that's how they survived, that's how they got attention, that's how they got love or felt like, you know, they mattered or whatever they've made that create in their head, that story that they made in their head about it. What if someone's thinking, Ashley, I resonate with that so much, but I don't know if that's from a wound or if that's from like what I actually connect with. How does she, what are some questions that she can ask herself or thoughts that she can kind of think through of identifying if that is actually a wound or not?
Yeah, I would say asking yourself, where did you learn this skill? Like how did this skill show up in your life?
Yeah.
Where did it show up in your like hobbies? Where did it show up in your relationships? Where did it show up in your family unit? Mm-hmm. Just giving yourself a second to take that inventory. You always been a helper? Have you always been good at words? For me, I was reading Shel Silverstein, Where the Sidewalk Ends in a Hammock. I read it in a day at age 8. You know, it's like, these are the things that you kind of reflect on. Mm-hmm. And then skill number 6, so we've got innovation, words, building, motion, service. Number 6 is coordination. Thank God for the coordinators. Like
not me, but detail, love them.
Love them, not me either. They're just
the people that have a plan and they just like, they love checking things off. They just like get hyped off like the perfection. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We need those people. Thank you.
Bless their hearts. So the world needs you. And then there's the analysts. And this is actually a really interesting one. So the analysis skill set. When I got to the Pentagon and I thought, oh, you know, I'm writing a lot of intelligence reports. That's a lot of words. No, it's not. It's a lot of analysis. I misunderstood the words core skill set. Like I'm not writing poetry or creative content. I'm looking for patterns in data and reporting on them. So the thing is there's a lot of misunderstandings. Also, somebody could reside in different skill sets and be the same thing. So think about a psychologist. Maybe the way that they transform people is through words. They're so good at expressing to somebody what they're seeing that people get so much out of it. Maybe a different therapist, psychologist, they're great at analysis and that's their skill set. And they're able to show data and like really collect points on where people are in a pattern in a way that the words person quite can't do it. Mm. So it's important to kind of realize like these skill sets are an umbrella and a flow chart of many different ways of being in opportunities, but knowing what box you're in is really big. Number 8 is numbers. So, you know, straightforward, my little number crunchers.
Just not me. It's like, it's so funny how your body just like knows, like even when I hear it, I'm like, I literally know that's not me. Like, okay. We're trying to do a math equation earlier. I'm like, I don't freaking know what 1000 divided by anything is. Like, where's my calculator? But anyway. Okay.
I know you and I both were like 100 divided. Oh, okay. Moving on.
Anyway, keep going. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. And then number 9 is technology. Also not me. Like, thank God for all the people at Genius Bar when I spill coffee on my laptop and fix it all.
So real. They're like, oh, let me just take that. Like, meh, 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 and then give it back. Like, I don't even know what you did. Okay. Amazing.
Totally. And then number 10 is my favorite. It's beauty. It's the people who create aesthetics around them. It could be hairdressers, jewelry designers, interior designers. And a hairdresser could also fall under motion. Maybe somebody does it because they're pretty good at it, but they just like to be on their feet. Okay. All of these things are really the top 10. And there's so many different ways to be in these different energies. So when you ask people, when have you seen me at my best? You're really handling the what of your career. What am I? What's my skill set? What do I need to lead with? And you know, if somebody's in a job right now and they don't like how their skill set is showing up or what skill set they're using, or they're residing in a skill set 80% of the time that isn't for them, there's a really cool field of work called job crafting, which is kind of, you know, turning a bland job into a grand job.
Oh, which, so good.
You know, is all about thinking to yourself, what is the project within my core skill set that I can really add value through at the company and suggest to my boss to let me take on? Because then your resume, which is really a place where you just allocate certain amounts of real estate on your resume to focus on certain things that you want an employer to focus on. Mm-hmm. Now you can give more real estate on your resume to that bullet point of that project. And you can talk more about that project that you're using to kind of job craft. And then you can also ask your boss, hey, can I transfer teams after you've proven yourself in that skill set? So, or you can leave your job. I mean, there's so many different ways to kind of turn what you have into something you want it to be. Mm-hmm. But it starts with knowing the what of your career, your core skill set.
I just had to pop in here real quick, and I hope that you're vibing with today's episode. I am loving the content that Ashley's sharing, but I also wanted to thank our sponsor of this episode, which is a company I'm obsessed with. And if you haven't heard about them, I think you're going to love them too, which is Organifi. They are a company that has an entire line of completely organic, hence the name, superfood blends and plant-based nutrition. And everything is made with really high quality ingredients, which I love. But on top of that, everything in their entire product line has no more than 3 grams of sugar per serving, which is really hard to find if you're looking at labels. And also, there's no artificial crap or fillers, and it tastes really freaking good. I love their superfood teas, in particular, their regular gold, their chocolate gold. They have a Harmony product for hormone health. They also have protein that I really vibe with. Both the chocolate and vanilla are really amazing, but the vanilla, I think, is my favorite. Their green juice, I love blending into my shakes. And honestly, I could go on and on. They've got an entire supplement line. Their products are just amazing. Everything that I've tried, I really vibe with. So if you are in the market for high quality superfoods at a really great price, you gotta check them out. Okay. So you can head to Organifi.com/Keisha and you can use code Keisha for 20% off any item in their store. Again, that's Organifi, Organifi.com/Keisha and code Keisha for 20% off any item. And then of course, whatever you get, like, let me know. I want to be kept in the loop. You can DM me on Instagram if you have questions. And of course, for any more details, you can check the show notes of today's episode with all the links. Now, with that being said, let's dive back in to today's interview with Ashley. So, okay, with these core skill sets, so we kind of figure out, like, am I an introvert? Am I an extrovert? And then you look at these 10 core skill sets. And it, for me, like, even just like reading through the list in your book, it's like, I knew straight out the gates, I'm like, words and then like the innovation, like, those were the two ones that kind of just like popped out to me for feeling true to me. So when someone goes through this, they're like, okay, well, Ashley, I kind of identify with a couple of these. Yeah. Are they going to feel typically like one is like their primary? Like, can you kind of explain like what they should be looking for? Yeah.
You're such a good interviewer that you're asking me this, because I'm just like a train track that could talk about career content forever. Like, I have a 320 page.
You're so excited about it. Yeah, I love it. Yeah,
I am fired up about it. But this is a really important question because people do get stuck on this. I do believe that your number one skill set is what matters the most, and you should build your career about around number one. Do the two show up? Yes. If you take a coordinator and an innovator, so those two skill sets, you're probably going to get somebody who owns an event planning company or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so it they do play a role, but your number one skill set is really what you want to focus on. The second one is exactly that. It's secondary, and it's another skill you have, but I would like to see people 60 to 80% of the time in their zone of genius. And then there's the zone of growth. Like, is there a skill set you want to be growing that you value or that would supplement the one that you're leading with? Mm-hmm. So that's something to kind of pay attention to.
Well, and on that, I'm curious to your take of, for me, I know for sure, like when you said numbers, for example, I'm like, that's, or technology, that's a hell no. Like, I just, you know, so in my head, I feel like people sometimes need to hear, although they can give the permission slip to themselves, they need to hear like, get out of that crap that is literally not even in your lane at all. Cause I'm like, I just want to outsource anything with number. Like, I'm not trying to learn how to do my taxes. Like, I'm trying to learn how to do all this number stuff. Like, get it off my plate so I can stay in my lane. Do you have people that come to you that you can see right away? Like, they know what their, you know, their core skill sets are, and they are literally doing something that is completely opposite. And you just want to say, you can't even job craft in here. Like, you just got to get out. Like, do you see that often?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, some people, especially if they're at a small company and that, and they're kind of like a jack of all trades and 90% of what they're doing isn't within their zone of genius, their zog.
Yeah.
I would say you've got to go. And a lot of people will say to me, I did this keynote in Vegas right before COVID, and I'll never forget, a lot of audience members were in line to ask questions. And they, the person asked, you know, I feel so stuck. How do I get paid what I'm worth? I'm so stuck. And then a bunch of people sat down who were in line for a question. I'm like, oh, wow, everybody had the same question.
Yeah.
So being stuck just means you haven't created enough options for yourself. The issue is not that you're stuck. The issue is that you haven't played the numbers game in your freaking career. So that means that it's on you to come up with a list of companies you want to be at. It's on you to start having conversations. Whenever I feel unenthused in my business, in my life, the answer is usually in a conversation. And so sometimes I'll wake up and say, okay, who do I have a conversation with today to move the energy of my life forward? So I would say start having more conversations. You don't need to rush to change jobs if you're not miserable. And in fact, being miserable and being reactive is the worst energy you could possibly be in to change jobs. It puts you in scarcity. Mm-hmm. But yeah, these are some considerations for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's such a popular question of, or like a statement, like a conditional statement of I'm stuck, as if it can never change. But it's like, you're like, what you just said about options is literally gold. It's like, are you creating options for yourself? Obviously reframing it to the best that you can while you're in it, while you're figuring this out. But I just think that's really powerful that like, ask these better questions, you're going to get some better answers and you can start moving in the right direction. Yeah. So let's 100%. Go there. To the how, yeah, now what do we do? So we know these skill sets. We know for an introvert or an extrovert, we know like our primary and our secondary, and then we have all this juicy information. Now, what the hell do we do with all this?
So there's the what, that's half of it. Here's the other half that counts just as much as the how. Given that research indicates more than 50% of people leave their job because they don't like their boss or the people that they work with, what we know is that even if you're in the right job, how it looks matters. Who you work with matters. What your core values are matters. So I think it's also about knowing what your core values are. And everybody seems to have about five core values that are kind of the non-negotiable principles by which they live their lives.
Yeah.
And I found that if you are within the right core skill set or within kind of that zone for yourself and something's still not feeling right, one of two things are happening. For some people, if you know your top five core values, which by the way, it's harder to figure out than most people think, because, you know, I had a client who told me adventure was her core value. And when I asked her what that meant for her, she said, trying new restaurants. Another
and
guy
I'm like jumping out of a plane. Like that's like, yeah, adventure, right?
Exactly. I had a guy that was like skydiving. So this is what you need to know is how does your core value look? The second piece of the puzzle is that a lot of people end up saying that a word is a core value when really it's just an aspiration. Like I had somebody tell me like, oh, peace is my core value. I'm like, you're not the most peaceful. A core value is a word.
I love the way that's like, that's definitely not one of my core values. I am not peaceful at all, but I love the idea of it. But I'm like, I'm not making decisions based off of peace, right? Is it kind of like that, like what you're making your decisions based off of that's in line with you? I love the value talk because we often don't stop to actually think about it, which is why I also think, and I know you're going to dive into this, but why your book is laid out so well, because it's very digestible, right? Like as in like, it's so much juicy content, but it's broken down into sections. Like even just when you look through it, it's like, there's diagrams, there's like headings where you can dig into each particular topic and kind of treat it more like a manual for figuring out like how you can be fulfilled in your career rather than just like this fluffy, like, follow your passion and like your paycheck follows, like that stuff. Yeah. It's like tactical too. So
yeah,
so good.
I love tactical stuff. I feel like that's why I wrote my book, is because I feel like there's a lot of career books out there that are very mystical and beautiful and spiritual and like purpose-based, which is really awesome. And then there's a lot of books with charts and tables that are more tactical. I wanted to blend the two because I think that's where the power is. Like the Eat, Pray, Love meets the, you know, Never Eat Alone or How to Win Friends and Influence People, like the two together. Yeah. I do think that there's three lily pads in your career, and I'll go back to core values. But
yeah,
the first one is people who know they're not in the right place and they don't want to go on the journey to figure it out because it's too intimidating, painful, tiring, whatever. They just kind of look in the mirror and they say, I make this much money in my job. It's fine. I'm fine. And, you know, to me, when people say they're fine, they're just not in touch with their pain. Mm. But a lot of that's the majority of the workforce is hanging out right there. Yeah. The second lily pad is what I try to get people to in my work. That's with my book. That's the lily pad of what's your skill set? What's your gift? How can you be in a job that is using your gift? Because when you're using your gift, you have the opportunity to move to the third and I think final lily pad, and it can take you years to get there. That's the lily pad of Dharma. That's the lily pad of purpose, mission, calling. You can't get there unless you're operating out of your gifts. You're operating in a job where you're doing a really good job because you're right on with what you're supposed to be doing and what you have to offer. When you're in that current, it's like a river current. Opportunities start flowing to you on the sidelines and on the periphery because people are like, damn, she's really good at that. Hey, can you do this version of that thing? Can you do this version of that? Can you use your gift in this way? You start getting met with opportunities because people see a gifted person. It's actually quite rare. And a lot of people haven't done the work to figure out what their skill set is, where they're gifted, and up the volume on it. Ooh. So
that is gold. Like that right there, that little nugget. If you can even figure out which lily pad you're on, like which one you're on right now. And then, okay, what are the stories that I'm telling myself that are keeping me on this lily pad that I'm just going to say I'm fine? Play that out, right? What's going to happen in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Who's going to be negatively impacted as a byproduct of you just sitting there? Are you going to have resentment later? Are you going to have regret and shoulda, woulda, couldas? How can we get you out of that to move to that second one where you're open and you're like, okay, I don't know where I should go from here. And that feels really, you know, I feel uncertain. I feel like really unstable and like it just feels awkward in my body, but I'm willing to like do that work to move to that final. Like that is growth. That is life. That is fulfillment. That's everything, you know?
Yeah. And I call it when you get to the third lily pad, which can really take a lot of time. And some people just get straight there in their life. They come in with a lot of dharma and a lot of soul and a lot of clarity. Yeah. Very rare. It takes work and it feels like you're bleeding your way to the third lily pad sometimes because you are putting yourself out there. You not only need to get yourself to a place where if you read my book or you just even listen to this podcast and get that clarity that you need, which, you know, I've got 300 more pages on this, but like granted, you get clarity on what's your gift, what are your values, what's your what, what's your how, you know, where are you a couple millimeters off? How can you rework it so that you're aligned? You get into that current, you get into that piece of the river, then you got to really put yourself out there. You've got to own it. You've got to claim it. You've got to challenge yourself. You can't get too comfortable. You got to have conversations. You got to be creating opportunities and even job crafting within your skill set, like taking on edgier projects. Once you're in that current, people are going to start to notice you. Once you get to your dharma, you get to your purpose, you jump lily pads, which this book was for me. And it took me years to get to this because I was like almost like preparing and iterating and calibrating and collecting information. There's a dignity to that process. There's a dignity to the process of, I'm not going to just coach a group of 100 people when I don't have a system in place yet. I'm going to coach people one by one by one for me to figure out how I'm going to go one to many. That was my process as a business owner. That was my process as figuring out my system. The jump from the second to the third lily pad is a game of iteration. It's a game of clarity. It's a game of going on an edge. And when you get into your dharma, I didn't realize this until I got there. You're creating from what I like to call the place. It's called the place to me. And I very rarely will see people that are operating from the place. It's a vibe and you can feel the vibe. Yeah. Like people feel Oprah, people feel Tony Robbins, people feel like even Barack Obama, whether you liked him or didn't, he was working from a place.
Yep.
And speaking from a place. And that's what you see with a viral TED Talk. People always ask me with both of my TED Talks viral, they're like, how'd you make a viral TED Talk? And they ask like, there's a marketing tip. I'm like, oh, it's super simple. Write the best talk of your life and write it from the place.
Yeah. So if someone's like, how do I do that? How do I get there? How do I get my mindset there? How do I get my, how do they do that?
Well, so kind of going back to core values, it's like, those are the non-negotiable ingredients to who you are. Don't pick words that are who you want to be. Pick words where if you weren't embodying that word, somebody would think something's wrong with you. Like your friends would come over and be like, are you okay? Like humor, that's a core value for me. if I'm not funny, like, I feel like that's you too.
Yeah.
If I'm like not silly or funny, like after a few hours, people are just like, is everything okay? You seem off. That's because it's a core value. Yeah. So pick five words that are your core values, see them as ingredients, realize that if your career is violating a core value, that's one of the biggest ways to misery. So if you value integrity and you have to sell something you don't believe in, if you value wellness and you have no space to practice your wellness, like you're working 90 hours, whatever, that's where your career isn't working for you. And maybe you can have a conversation and change the how of your career. Sometimes you need to change jobs. Sometimes it's just a conversation with your boss. But I think knowing the what and how of your career is the start to getting to the second lily pad. And then from there, it's just about taking on edges for you, noticing the nudges, noticing your intuition. I mean, realizing that we are in the world of breadcrumbs. And when you're on that second lily pad, it's about being able to recognize the breadcrumbs, being able to recognize the nudges, knowing what feels good, realizing when you're in a conversation with somebody like, oh, wow, what they're saying, I feel so inspired by that. Like, I want to ask more questions about that. You know, for me, I thought that I wanted to make my book a movie for a long time because I opened up at the Pentagon. In that moment, I realized that my dream wasn't my dream, which a lot of people I think have.
Yep.
And then I start giving tips about, you know, what I would have done if I realized now what I know now. Mm-hmm. I used to think I wanted my book to be a film because I was so inspired by all these books that became films and it felt like so expressive to me. And such a way to make a different impact. And it wasn't until later that I realized like, no, I'm just inspired by the creative art that comes with filmmaking. And so it's like, I'm constantly iterating what will be that next piece of my Dharma.
Yep.
And it's just because I'm standing on the third lily pad. I think what's really important for everyone is to realize that there's a portal in between with transition when your Dharma moves. And once you get into the place, it's actually kind of intimidating sometimes because you might create something so unicorn and magical that it's almost like you feel like you've peaked sometimes. Like, whoa, can I keep that up?
Yeah.
And one thing you have to learn about the third lily pad is it moves kind of slow in that once you create one thing, sometimes you need some time to collect yourself, to nourish yourself, to get into your next version of yourself. Because in zone three, you're emptying yourself out on a constant basis. So my book is 320 pages of an emptying of how to figure out your career path.
Yeah.
And I am empty right now. I have a lot. I'm endless. I'm an endless well, you know, but I feel empty as far as like, I've cleared out what I have to share for right now. And now I am in replenishment. I am in connecting. I'm in collecting. I know that eventually I'll write a TV series or, do something maybe documentary related, but I need some time to get there. And so there's some things on the second lily pad I'm doing, things that are in my zone of gifts that I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep producing those things that I enjoy, that I'm gifted at while I hone for that next level.
And I think that's really important for people to think about this, whether they've heard it explained that way or not. It's this idea of seasons too, where like you were in this, like to create a book like you created with how much information is in it and how much research probably went into this and just like getting it out of you, like that process in itself was probably, I can only imagine. Right? Like how like crazy that was and the time that went into it. And now it's like, you now have to be a different version of you because you're not in this like digging it out of your soul, researching it. Now you're literally stepping into like, okay, now I'm Ashley in this season. What does this even look like? What are my habits? What are my norms? How do I even go about my life? Like, what do I do? Because I've been doing this for so long. I was like sucked into this like creation. So people need to hear that too, that like, if you're in a season right now and you feel like you're just like getting depleted, you're not going to be in that season for forever. You're going to then have to be in another season. So for someone that's maybe, you know, trying to create something right now, whether it is they're trying to put, you know, a book or, you know, they're trying to launch something, they're just like in this creation mode. What did it feel like when you were at the end, right? Like, you know, you're at the very end of it. You're like, I'm so close. I'm sure there are times that you're like, I just want to throw in the freaking towel. I don't want to do this anymore because it's a lot. How did you actually mentally like push yourself to complete that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, one of the biggest realizations I had about writing a book or about anything really is you know, I was working full time as far as like, I have my coaching practice and my podcast and all these things and writing this book. And, you know, I would carve out a writing day because I need a lot of white space. And that's the thing. You have to learn what you need to create, especially when you're trying to move, not trying to move, but you are moving from the second to the third lily pad of gift Dharma. It's like really learning who you are as a creator. And what I learned is that some days I'm just going to stare at the cursor on the screen and no words will get written, because that's part of the creative process. That's not a failed day. That's a part of the journey. And so I think for me, it's, I wanted to empty myself out. I knew that words was my gift and I was fully executing on it. I have a lot of friends and people that I know where they wrote a book to further their business, and maybe not because it was their Dharma. It was just part of a higher mission. And the world meets you there. The world can feel where you're creating from. People are hungry for the truth. And my book is just me bleeding my heart out with this information, with my soul, with what I know. And so I think for me, it was actually a really painful experience to, and also highly cathartic to process my life in service to other people processing their life. It's called a career book, but it's really a book that is here to help you figure out who you are so you can easily go choose your career. Because it's really easy. You don't really need clarity. You just need to connect to yourself, because you know, once you connect to yourself, it's kind of easy to be like, oh, this is my skill. So this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm interested in. So this is how I'm going to use it. Your interests are a backdrop. Once you know your what and your how, your interest is the building you're walking into. You know, the interest is I'm words and I love fashion. So I'm going to be a fashion writer in a building that, it gets really easy once you connect to yourself.
It's amazing just to think of what a gift that is, that you're willing to push yourself through all of this to create this book and like feel like you're literally like just like bleeding, you know, like putting everything into it because you can feel it. But on top of that, the gift that that gives to so many other people, to like you said, not just like, I think calling it a career book seems like it's just going to be like, oh, it's let me figure out my career. This is going to give you not just clarity, but like an understanding of like who you actually are, so you can make the right steps for your life to create this life. Because on this podcast a lot, we talk about different streams of fulfillment, right? Of like, how can I create this life that I'm obsessed with? Well, you cannot do that if you don't know who you actually are. So get a book like this, like U-Turn, get this book and understand who you actually are so that you can really take analysis of, you know, where you're at right now and if it's getting you closer to the person that you want to become or if it's moving you further away from it. Because then you need to make some changes and take radical responsibility. So had you not gone through this, like all of these people that are getting gifted from it, like wouldn't have your gift. So thank God you did it. Seriously. That's incredible.
Yeah. So one of my core values is self-expression. And so I think it's also just being who I am.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So where can people find you? Where can we connect with you? We need all the jazz.
Thank you so much for such awesome questions. Like I see why you have so many people listening. It's such a, it was such a good conversation. My book, it's called U-Turn, Y-O-U, because I want you to make a turn back to yourself. And the subtitle is Get Unstuck, Discover Your Direction, Design Your Dream Career. You guys are already in on the secret that it's not just a career book. It's a how to figure out you book. You can get it anywhere books are sold, Amazon. I would love to hear from you on Instagram. I'm at Ashley Stahl. If you read it, and I, of course, have my podcast, the U-Turn podcast. I'm going to have Keisha on, which I'm really excited about. Yes. And thanks for listening.
Of course. And I have to ask you one question that we ask everyone. We have a pump up Spotify playlist for this podcast. So if you're feeling like in a funk, low vibe, and you need to like get yourself to like shake your butt and just like get in the right headspace, what's a good go-to song that we can add on the playlist from Ashley Stahl?
I mean, I love Nice For What by Drake. You know, everybody get your roll on.
People tell me that my fiance looks like if Ross from Friends and Drake had a baby. So I love Drake for that reason
too.
Yes. I see this.
I totally looked at pictures of you guys before we talked. I was like, wow.
Okay. And to close this out, any last little like nugget that you want to leave the listeners with just to inspire them to take action to build this life that they love and do whatever U-turns they need to make, you know?
Yeah, I would give them the message of the book. Don't do what you love. Do what you are and go figure that out.
Love it. Thank you so much, Ashley. Appreciate you, girl.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like, send it to her right now or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.